It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and this is Bruce Hornsby. He's probably best known for a song he wrote for his first album with his group Bruce Hornsby in the Range. The song was The Way It Is, and in December 1986, it was a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100. But Hornsby's 50-year career stretches far beyond his hits. He's collaborated with a wide range of bands and musicians over the years, The Grateful Dead, Phil Collins, and Christian McBride, just to name a few.
I saw old man pursuing the horizon, round and round they sped, round and round they sped.
Now Hornsby has a new collaboration with an experimental chamber music ensemble called Y Music. Add in Bruce, and you get a project known as Brhym. That's B-R-H-Y-M. They've just come out with an album last week. It's called Deep Sea Vents, and you're hearing the first single from it, Deep Blue.
Between heaven and the deep blue sea, between blue sky and briny deep, that's where we play, you and me, no boundaries. No boundaries. Hey, hey. No boundaries, boundaries, babe.
Later this week, on Thursday, March 7th, the group will be bringing its music to Central Illinois, to the Krennert Center for the Performing Arts on the U of I campus in Urbana. I spoke with Hornsby late last month. We'll be listening to that conversation for the rest of our program today. And a little later, we'll also hear from two of his collaborators on this newest project, trumpeter C.J. Camerari and violinist Rob Moose. Bruce Hornsby, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for speaking with us.
And why the 21st show?
Give we me are the 21st
the
origin, show.
Origin story.
We're an Illinois state, and the 21st. We were the 21st state to join the union.
Nice to know. I did not know that. Okay.
All right. So, talk me through the inspirations for that track we just heard, Deep Blue.
Well, Deep Blue is one of the later tracks written for this record. This was a COVID era, remote record we made. Why Music, the great chamber group, would send me tracks once every 6 weeks or so. I'd get a new track for them, and I would try to blow their minds with the song that I would write over that. And sometimes I was successful. You'll have to ask them about that. Anyway, we just kept going. Deep Blue was the only song from the record that emanated originally from me. I wrote basically a funk track because I wanted to just take the music. Later in the record, this is number 7 on the record, wanted to take it to a little different place, maybe have a bit of a stylistic palate cleanser from the sort of heavier, more harmonically dissonant and intense music that they were sending me, all of which I love, but I just thought I would throw this little lighter song in there. I also hope you'll play the second release, which is the first song on the record called Wild Wailing Life, and that's more indicative of the whole record. But Deep Blue is a song with my drummer Chad Wright playing a loop, and I'm playing synth bass. And it's just a sort of a semi-frivolous song that's inspired and actually written with lyrics from two old Stephen Crane poems. Stephen Crane being the 19th century novelist most well known for having written The Red Badge of Courage, Civil War novel. And so you've got the Civil War meets an aquatic feeling and a kind of a funk track with the Y Music so rhythmically precise in the best way playing over that.
You know, COVID was such a time of disruption in our lives, but so many artists found it to be a way to sort of re-energize or maybe take a different approach to their work. Can you talk about collaborating remotely, as you mentioned you did here, and how that might have differed from what you've done in the past?
Well, the COVID era for me was a very fecund time. Just as you say, I was one of those people who just kept on being able to be creative because everything else in our lives, or in my life, got shut down. I had we had to postpone three or four or five legs of tours that were slated for 2020 and 2021. So it was fun for me. I just holed up in my studio and kept writing. I was writing two records, one of my own that also featured Y Music. And we had a record that had just been finished before the shutdown that came out in June of 2020. That was called Non-Secure Connection. And Rob Moose was a major player in that one as well. So it just worked out very, very well in this, in the sense that timing wise, Y Music and I did a little tour, a short 5-gig tour of the Northeast that started in late February of 2020 and ended first week of March. So we got our tour in, and a week later the world shut down. But we had written one song at Rob's suggestion. He called me up around Christmas time of 2019, said, "Hey, would you be interested in writing a song with us? We can play it for our encore every night on our little mini tour." So I said, "Yes, send me a track." And so they did. And I wrote this aquatic themed song, which signaled a possible way forward on a content level lyrically, called Deep Sea Vents. And we had such a great time playing that, to great response from the audiences, that we decided to keep going. And then when the world shut down, we reeled from that for a little bit. But in the fall, late fall of 2020, we reconvened and started deeply getting involved in this record. And the second song that we wrote was The Wild Wailing Life. And so that's another good, like I said, good one to play here, because it's really showcases the Y Music efforts.
I am a lone mariner, skin, bone, strength low. I am a fair sailor, flesh weak, but spirits ago.
All right, we need to take a break. After that, we'll continue our conversation with Bruce Hornsby, and we'll be joined by some of his collaborators on his current project. And just as he mentioned, we'll go to the break with another track off the newest album. It's called The Wild Wailing Life. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us.
It to the fates. We goddess is controlled, human destiny and life. One spins the thread of life. One deterrence is laying. One cuts it off. It stops. It stops. Diving into the howling infinite. Sadly dashing up on the lead. When I push myself, I feel prouder. I can scream just a little louder. This is what I chose for my life's work. It's a wild, wailing life of me.
It's The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening to a recent conversation I recorded with musician Bruce Hornsby. He's performing at the Krannert Center in Urbana this Thursday. He's been collaborating with an experimental chamber music ensemble called Y Music. The group just came out with an album. You're hearing the title cut right now, Deep Sea Vents. At this point in the conversation, we were joined by trumpeter C.J. Camerari and violinist Rob Moose.
Watery home. Geothermal fields, polychromatic, a saltiest dog, an organism, just like me.
CJ, I understand this collaboration started at a music festival in Wisconsin where you and Bruce were performing. Can you take us through the origin stories?
Yeah, so it was at the Eau Claire's Festival in, oh my God, I'm not going to get the year right, maybe 2017?
That's what I guess, too. That's what I guess, okay. CJ. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, it was 2017, and we were doing a set of brand new music it was one of those things where we threw all the music together in the couple of days prior. And it was, so it was like we were performing it for the very first time in front of a festival crowd. And it was really nerve wracking, but also really exciting and something that could only happen at this festival. And so we were all super nervous on stage and, you know, pretty sure of what we were going to do. And I remember looking over to the side stage and seeing Mr. Hornsby over there, just digging it. And it was really, really encouraging. And just as he's, just, you know, just to be up there kind of flying by the seat of your pants and look over and see someone you've admired for so long, just digging it. And it was really, really, you know, yeah, it was really affirming. And I remember we all talked to him afterwards and he was like, I've got this festival I'm doing in Virginia. You guys should come and do it. We're like, all right. So we came and we did that project with the Staves, but I think we also did something like 4 or 5 Y Music sets in one day at this festival. And so we were, it was really cool. And the crowd was so supportive. And so it just sort of started a relationship. And then we've worked on last few records, Rob especially did a ton of arranging for Bruce. And it sort of was the beginning of a, you know, mutual admiration, musical relationship.
Yeah. And Rob, maybe you can take it from there. How does the collaboration take shape, at least before the pandemic? We talked a little bit about the during pandemic collaborating, but in the before time, so to speak.
Well, it's always been kind of a dream situation because I think there's that trust and mutual respect. And I feel like also there's almost a, not a one-upsmanship, but I feel like we're getting more and more ambitious as we go. And I don't know, like we'll send each other kind of anything that just almost to try to see if we can finally topple the other party over. But it feels like we're all just kind of growing and learning as we go. And I always feel like as an arranger, so grateful for the relationships that I have where there is a sense of respect and trust and willingness to really be open to an outside idea coming into your music. And it's hard to find that because people spend so long writing and recording material. And they, you know, they're really attached to it. And so a lot of the things I work on, I do my best to bring an outside idea. And sometimes I have to kind of compromise that idea over time in order to get it to the finish line. And I feel always so happy when Bruce has some music to work on, because I know that I'll get to really be myself in that music. And it's just such a such a lucky thing.
Bruce, talk about your own work has spanned a lot of different genres and gone in different directions. How do you decide where to set your compass, so to speak?
I'm always looking for a new inspiration. And so it's stylistically ranged far and wide, far afield, from bluegrass records with the Ricky Skaggs to dodecaphonic pop on my own records and with Y Music here. It's a perfect example. There are a couple of songs on this record that are, for the mainstream listener, pretty out. And they're some of our favorites. I've never just really discussed this with Rob and CJ. By the way, hi, Rob and CJ. I haven't seen you guys in ages. But,
I know. We're going to see each other all the time soon.
Nice to hear. Exactly right. Nice to hear you. these guys, to me, are kindred spirits because I'm always looking to make a sound. In my dotage here, the last several years, since I turned 63 or 64, which is now 6 years ago, I've been in search of making a sound that I've never heard before. Maybe whether it's a combination of instruments, instrumentation, combination of odd, disparate elements in the music. And so adventure is what I seek. And I feel that these guys are the same way, adventure in music and sort of pushing the envelope, but also with an ear to, I don't know, some sort of, in the face of all this modernity, also an interest in accessibility.
CJ, the album is called Deep Sea Vents. The promotional copy would have us understand 10 songs about water and the ways we live with it, in or against it. Where did the idea for this come from?
That came from our lovely violist, Nadia, who is Nadia Sirota, who is obsessed with going to aquariums, anything fish related, looking at them, eating them, anything fish related. So we started this, we were doing a tour with Bruce literally right before the pandemic started, probably a dovetailing with the pandemic. And we were brand new to writing music of our own. And it was so encouraging of Bruce to, you know, trust us to be collaborators in more than just arranging and more than just realizing, you know, new versions of songs, but to really be writing together. So we sent him a new thing. We were like, wouldn't it be cool if we did an original as an encore? And I think somebody was like, Nadia was like, yeah, wouldn't it be cool if this was about the ocean? And so that just kind of kept going. And I think it's a super unique subject matter, super important to talk about. And yeah, but that was definitely from a violist obsession. She, like, every time we're in a new city, she goes to a local aquarium and writes a blog about it and is really just all in. So that was the original sort of impetus of the idea.
So hearing you say that is interesting to me, because all that's news to me. When I got I got this track, and it just sounded like something aquatic. And so I just, on my own, with no prodding from you guys, I just wrote this song, Deep Sea Vents. And so, but it, I guess belatedly after the fact, I heard that Nadia was just how you're describing her, and but I never heard Alex saying, "Wow, this sounds like ocean music." It's serendipitous in that way, because I had no idea about what you're just saying. I wrote the song just out of a newspaper article that I was reading.
Amazing.
In the moment.
I always assume she put you up to it. That's hilarious.
No, no, no. This just happened, with no knowledge of what you were just saying. And then, and still no knowledge, when many months later, in the fall of 2020, you guys sent me the second track. And I was reading it, again, a serendipitous moment. I was reading Moby Dick for the first time, and the music you guys sent sounded so sea-like, with sounds of gulls, birds, seafowl. And so I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm reading this Melville thing, I'm gonna write from that. And so that's what made me write The Wild Wailing Life. And then that's what made me feel like, okay, whatever they send me, I'm gonna try to continue this aquatic theme and carry it through the whole record, which was great fun for me. I'd never actually done something like that. I'd always, in my first few records, tried to make my records have a strong sense of place, sort of like Southern fiction, since I come from the Upper South. So there was that impetus in early days, but nothing like this.
I do want to ask about the actual concert experience, and from your perspective as musicians, and Rob, maybe I'll bring you back in for this. You're touring on this new album. This is something that was born of the pandemic. Studio to taking a show live is always, you know, there are always some modifications and changes. I wonder if you can talk about that, right? You've committed this to digital posterity. There's a lot of production elements that goes into a recorded album. Now you're taking it on the road. How do you adapt your music for that?
You know, I think we'll always begin with trying to start from the sort of unwritten page, really, because it's a lot of this stuff is not written down yet, but we're going to kind of come together and see if we can, in the room, make what we've made digitally, because it's not like there are any extra tracks or anything other than singing. Everything on the Y Music side was very one person on one part, so able to be performed in a literal sense. But I expect that the experience of getting to put it together in a room for the first time will lead us to new discoveries and new shapes. I'm personally wide open to where it may lead us. And I think I expect we can find interesting ways to connect from some material to other material, and also intersperse pre-existing work prior to this album as well. So I think it'll be a real musical celebration.
Absolutely. That's what I think too. And also, I feel that just for people in the Champaign-Urbana area who are semi-interested in coming to this, we will be playing four songs from the old days that most everyone there will know. About 5 years ago, one of the first things I did with Rob was ask him to arrange some of my solo piano performances of The Way It Is, Mandolin Rain, Every Little Kiss, End of the Innocence, the song I wrote with Henley. And so he did that to fantastic effect. And we played them on our mini tour in late February, early March of 2020. So we'll play those. We might play some crazy modern music. And then interspersed with that will be nice, beautiful strolls down memory lane.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up, Bruce, because, you know, this is a question I've asked a number of musicians over the years. Joan Jett with I Love Rock and Roll, right? There are certain songs that maybe come to almost be an albatross. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. How do you think about that? And maybe you've already begun to answer it by talking about, you know, keeping it fresh or coming up with new interpretations, new arrangements.
Well, I've become nicer about it in my senescence. I've become a kinder person. There were a lot of years where I thought, well, I don't care about this. If they're here for that reason, I don't care if they come back or not. But I, like, again, I became nicer about it, and so I've been playing. It's not like I never played the hits. What keeps it fresh for me, frankly, is the versions I play of these songs. They're not an attempt at replicating the original kind of at all. Now, I think you'll recognize it, with the exception of the version of Mandolin Rain, which is the Skaggs Hornsby bluegrass version. It's a minor key, total reinvention of the song. The lyrics are the same, but the music is completely different. And for me, way more soulful. And Rob's arrangement and the way my music plays it is, to me, semi-transcendent. And so that's a highlight that may end up being our ultimate or penultimate song of the set. And so right, that keeps it fresh for me because these are different versions. And so that's it. Yeah. Otherwise, I might be opening veins at this point.
Bruce Hornsby, CJ Camerari, and Rob Moose together are Brim. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your work with us today on the 21st show.
And let's not forget Alex Sopp, Gabe Cabezas, Nadia Sirota, and Mark Dover. I'll basically meet this guy. I've never met him. I'll say, okay, nice to meet you, and let's play. So that'll be an adventure as well.
Amazing.
But thanks. But nice talking to you, Brian.
Let's go piling on the roof. Out on the roof for the rig. That's where we play, my mermaid and me.
Bruce Hornsby will be in concert with Y Music this Thursday, March 7th, at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. And that's all the time we have for today. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.